Alma, that if I would give you the answer, your soul would be more far removed from knowledge than it is right now. Because, as I said before, the joy of the solution will take up all the energies of the soul. And if he didn't give them the answer, so then the soul is still straining and searching for the ideas, then it is closer to knowledge in that state, you see, than having the answer and being turned off from the area. If the soul continues in its quest and its pursuit, its natural pursuit, it continues and it arrives at a solution, then it will not be harmed by the solution. Because then the process that it underwent is such that the knowledge emerged naturally the way the soul is made to function, and the soul will be enamored and will embrace that knowledge in a primary way. The solution will become secondary, unimportant, and the attachment of the soul to the knowledge will then be completed. You see, then that's the highest, most perfected state. But the Rambam, in that little introduction over there, the Rambam really sets forth the nucleus of our whole concept of what intellect is, what knowledge is, what perfection of the soul is, and how different it is than what most people think is simply a quantifiable amount of knowledge. Who has the solution, who has the answer? And that's really the difference. That's the difference, basically, basic difference between Agav Orch, I mean, what the Rambam brings in from this point, I mean, is the difference between the metaphysical knowledge and between knowledge of halacha, where I said in halacha everything must be defined. It's definition. It's precision. That's like scientific knowledge. It has to be precisely defined. When in the area of metaphysics, the soul gets into an area where there's nothing more than the soul itself grasping, attempting to grasp and to relate to a certain source of knowledge. And that's why the Rambam says that area is, the Rambam's lashon is that's something the Rambam the Yad HaChazaka says. Where's the Rambam the Yad HaChazaka in the Hilchus Yisori HaTorah, where the Rambam describes it? Just a second. Okay. So like this, he says, when he talks about the knowledge of God, he talks about how the Nevi'im saw God. So he says, it's in Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. So he says that Im Kain Ma'u Zesha Kosvatar Vasachas Raglov. What about Ksuvim Be'etz Balikim, Yad Hashem, Eine Hashem, Ozne Hashem, the Kayotze Bidvarama Elu? So the Ram says, Akol Lefi Daiton Shel B'nei Odom Hu, She'inun Makir Ne'o Agufo, Sedivra Tar Kolashim B'nei Odom. Akol, he says, Kinu Yimein, Shenema, I'm Shenosi Burakarbi, v'chicherev yeshlo u'becherev u'horeg ela mashal v'kol mashal. Raya l'davoi says that's a basic thing for every individual, but then he says raya l'davoi shenovi echot omer shera baruch levushe ketelek chivar. He says v'echot ro chamutz begadu mibatzra Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo Ro'o Alayom Ki Gibor Osa Mochama. He says Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo, notice, Ro'o Alayom Ki Gibor Osa Mochama U'Bisinai Kishliach Tzibor Otos. Okay, so it's an interesting thing. At first sight, it seems the Rambam is speaking about commonplace things. Ein Hashem, Ozne Hashem, it's all Derech Mashal. But then he says the Nevi'im also had something similar. Okay, and he says Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo, even Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNevi'im, saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kigiba at one point on the Yom, he saw him Kigiba Rasa Muhammad, and at Sinai he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kishliach Tziba Otof Lama She'en Lo Demus V'tzura Ela HaKol B'mari HaNavua U'B'machazeh. And then he says V'amitas HaDavar Ein daito shel adam mevin v'lo yecholo la'sigo l'chokro. Okay? And then he says, v'zeh shamar kosev acheka l'katinto im atachos shakaitinto. So the Rambam says it's impossible for a person to be masig and to understand. And the next halacha, he says, even with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu's request for knowledge, v'shiva baruch hu shein koach b'das adam achai shehu mechuba miguf nefesh lahasig amitas dover zeh al buyo. It means to say that, and the Rambam elaborates in the Mora also, that it means to say that there's an area of knowledge where the human mind cannot define it. It's impossible for the human mind to have a definition. So in our struggle for definitions in halacha, that's justified. That's correct. Halacha we have to define precisely. But there's an area of knowledge which is beyond definition, beyond precise definition, because ein odom yochol lahasig adavar al burya hacheker lakatenta. So it means to say, but in that area, does that mean the area doesn't exist for man? No, the area exists for man, but over there it is simply what you have in that area of knowledge is just the soul's grasping for knowledge, just the closeness of the intellect to the knowledge. But the knowledge can never be crystallized. It's an amazing thing. It's knowledge without a material substance, so to speak. Okay, there are no quantifiable ideas, but it is still a closeness of the soul to God. It's an amazing thing. And that's the ultimate state of metaphysics. And the Rambam in his introduction to the Mara explains that even the greatest individual, he says that's his mashal. Where he says that even the greatest individual, he says, will never see the light. There will never be light. But he says it's always a dark night with interrupting flashes of lightning. And he says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the flashes are constant, one after another. They're contiguous. So the whole night is in constant, continuous flashes. So he says that's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But what does it mean? What does it mean, flashes? It means to say, Moshe Rabbeinu never sees it clearly. Never really sees it clearly. But it's ein koach ba'odom lahasig hadavar al boyo. It's impossible for man to crystallize this knowledge. But does that mean if there's no crystallization of knowledge, there's no knowledge? No, not true. Yada says no. Yada says that the Mare Hanavua, the descriptive Mare Hanavua, is something which is very deep and which hits the core and the soul of man and his relationship to God in terms of the soul's relationship to the knowledge of God, you see. And yet it's an area which is so far beyond the intellect that the ability to define precisely is God. And the soul is lost in description. But the description is not nothing. It's still a certain grasp of knowledge. It's just a grasp of knowledge. That's all. So basically, that's what the Rambam is saying, really. The idea, that's why I said both ideas are very, very significant. And that's why you have this holds that perfection for man is not a simple matter. It's not like a person's ego would want to believe at first. If I just sit down and master shas, and then that's it. Now I have it. It's a quantifiable thing. It's a very satisfying emotional feeling, but it's also a very, very false feeling, you see, because that is not what perfection is. That's why chesed plays a role, mitzvahs play a role, the whole system plays a role, because God created this system in a way that the person that follows that system will arrive at a point where the personality is perfected. But the personality being perfected is not a simple thing, not just a matter of knowledge. If you want to say what it is, the closest you could say, the best way to describe it would be, it's a certain grasp of the soul of knowledge. That's what it is. But that grasp of knowledge of the soul, you see, it is knowledge, and that was the question I started off with. I said, it seems to be a type of sasri. Because if it's knowledge, it's not mitos, and mitos not knowledge. So there's two answers. One is the quantitative answer I mentioned at first. That's a simple mechanical answer. But there's something far beyond that in the qualitative world, a little bit more difficult to understand, but to my mind, more significant. But they're both important. But the idea is, if you'd sum up the perfection of man, you would say it's the grasp of the soul of knowledge. But that grasp, that term, the grasp of knowledge, takes in an awful lot and is very far removed from what a professor thinks would give as a criterion for his students as to whether they understand his lectures or whether they understand the courses or not. That's it's very far removed from that idea. That's a quantifiable idea, which is a very shallow surface idea in terms of the system, the true system of Yahadus, which really recognizes that man's soul is not a simple thing, many, many, many factors involved. It is knowledge, but not knowledge the way people think of knowledge, but knowledge in terms of the soul's grasp or relationship to Yedias Hashem, to true knowledge. And that's something which requires Tayag Mitzvahs, and you cannot belittle or you cannot deprecate any aspect of it. If you do, then it's like the Rambam says in the Mara, then you have the disease of the soul, that the Derech Hashem is not good enough for you, and Lenochem Lekim Derech HaSplishim won't appeal to you, because that is emotionally not in line with your idea of with the things that your emotions naturally, out of imperfection, attach themselves to. You see. So that's basically the answer. Okay, any questions?
Maybe.
I would go further, but I really think that unless you have questions on this, I would rather stop here.
So we have a question.
I'll take the question, because I feel that sometimes certain areas, I'd rather stop on this area, because I think it's something that's worthwhile considering, and I think if I go further, I'd rather leave you with this thought and have you think about it, unless you have a question on the area.
There's a question on the area.
Go ahead.
According to what we're saying in terms of the acquiring knowledge, how to acquire knowledge?
Yeah.
What would you say is the you have the Maaser in the Gemara by Rabbi Akiva, by the Tanaim, that one knew the Maaser Merkava, one knew the Maaser Bereishis.
Right.
And they want to trade off, you teach me this and I'll teach you that?
That's correct.
So how would we understand that Maaser according to what we're saying now?
According to what we're saying now,
it sounds like it's giving over the knowledge. He didn't really learn on his own. He just says, listen, tell me this and I'll tell you that, because I have this knowledge, you have that, we'll make a trade.
Yeah. Well, you see, actually, that's what the Rambam points out. The Rambam says that with regard to the Maaser Merkava and even Maaser Bereishis, but you have to know what the difference is in Maaser Bereishis and Maaser Merkava. I mean, we'll have to hopefully return to that. But basically, there's one idea there, and that is that you only give over Rashi Prakim in those areas. You're not allowed to give over to the person, even in person, even the Ishmi Piyish is not allowed to the. You're not allowed to give over to the individual details of the area. That's for a lot of reasons. One reason is based upon what we're saying right now, what the Rambam says to the Talmud, and that is because the knowledge has to appear to a person in a natural way, not as a solution, you see, but as a result of a natural quest of the soul. So if you give over the details, you're really squelching the soul's pursuit. So you're not allowed to do that. On the other hand, you are allowed to guide the soul of the individual in a certain direction. That's not going to harm, that will not harm the individual. And that's why it's only Rashi Prakim. The Rambam insists, and Rambam's introduction mentions, he's not going to give answers here, just Rashi Prakim, basically. Okay? And the reason is because there is no perfection, again, if the individual is just given solutions. So Rashi Prakim is guidance. Now, a person that is not ready, so Rashi Prakim could be harmful. Because since the person does not, you can't explain in detail what you mean, but you're only giving guidance. So guidance is only good if a person, I mean, if you go with, if a person's, the person is going on a trail, so you have little signs that tell you, you know, guide the person along the trail. But if you took those signs and put them in the city, no one would have any idea what those signs represent. So in order to understand what that sign means, you have to be on the trail. In the framework of the trail, the sign makes sense. But if you take that sign and put it in and put it in Midtown Manhattan, no one would understand what it means. It doesn't make any sense. So in order for the sign to make sense, you must have the framework. And if the person does not have the framework, they're not up to the level, so the sign that you're giving them, they're going to look at that sign, and it would be similar to taking a sign off a trail in the wilderness. You know, and you put it downtown, and people start attaching different ideas to it. They'll say, oh, it must mean this, it must mean that. They'll start going in different directions based upon a misunderstanding, a misinterpretation of the sign. Of course, their framework is wrong. So that's the same thing with metaphysics. That since metaphysics, you cannot give details. You can only give a marker. You can only give a sign. So there's a big problem. Because if you give the details, you're squelching the whole process, which is wrong. And then the soul is going to be further away from knowledge, like the Rambam says. If you don't give the details, so the person who is in a certain framework and sees the sign is going to start attaching wrong significance, wrong ideas. And the person will start going in wrong directions. So that's why you can't do it. That is precisely why you cannot give over metaphysics. That's why you can only give it over to a person. That's what Chazal means. A person who has all the greatest qualities, the whole list of qualities that Chazal enumerates, that the Rambam enumerates, then they're on the trail. Then you give them the marker is great. It tells them exactly where to go, they understand, and they can traverse the trail and arrive at the summit successfully. But if you don't follow that procedure exactly, then it can only lead to terrible harm. That's basically the reason. That really explains the whole concept of why metaphysics is something that cannot be taught in the ordinary sense. And again, it's based on the idea that it's not quantifiable definitions. Not quantifiable definitions. Even Moshe Rabbeinu lo yada es hadavar abuyo. He really couldn't. He couldn't define. Moshe Rabbeinu could not define exactly what he saw. He saw it, and his soul was as close as any human being's soul can ever be to the knowledge, but he didn't have definitions. It was descriptions. Okay? Moshe Atzmo, Nira Ke, what was Ram's Lashon? Nira Ke Ishmochama Layam. And the Besinai, Kishliach Tzibur Otaf. I mean, that's even Moshe Rabbeinu. Is involved in the perception of God in a certain closeness to the knowledge. But the knowledge cannot be, it's not definitive, it's descriptive. That's basically what the Rambam is saying.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, insofar as this idea of the soul's quest for truth, I'm just curious, in as far as halacha is concerned.
Yes.
So again, you have the same, I would imagine, you should have the same danger that they're just looking for answers. And yet in halacha on a daily basis, obviously you have shiurim and all the secrets of the sugya given away.
No, that's not the same thing in halacha. Because in halacha, there's plenty of areas of halacha. If I give you an answer in one area of halacha, so, your soul wants to engage in pursuit of halacha, there's plenty of sugyas you don't know. I mean, I'm not harming you. How am I harming you? It's only in this one area where you're dealing with the ultimate knowledge which perfects the soul. But in halacha, one sugya is the same as another sugya. You can't tell me that if you learn a sugya in Cheskas Abatim, that it's a different type of thing than you learn a sugya in Shabbos. So if I give you the answers, you need to know what to do in Shabbos. So I give you the answer.
But you wouldn't say there are many
areas. The soul's pursuit of knowledge? To learn another sugya. You never get to learn other sugyas.
And you wouldn't say that many areas are metaphysics in the same way?
No. Because in metaphysics, the area, the specific area, results directly in closeness or distance from God. But in halacha, it doesn't work that way. A specific sugya in Shabbos is not going to make you any closer than a specific sugya in Bava Kamma. The knowledge is not, it's a different kind of a thing. It's not the specific knowledge. Whereas in metaphysics, it's the specific knowledge. And halacha, you can't harm anybody. Halacha, oh yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention was, halacha, you can't harm anybody. Halacha, you can always tell. Otherwise, you could never. It's a different kind of a thing, because it's not the quest of the soul to closeness to God in a specific sense. Yeah, halacha generally has an effect on the soul, that it places the soul in a certain condition where the closeness to God becomes possible. But it's not the specific subject matter of halacha that perfects. Whereas in metaphysics, the subject matter itself is the perfection. What does Rambam say? Yediyas Hashem is the Avas Hashem. It is the perfection. That is a tremendous difference in halacha between metaphysics.
Ready?
Yes. One thing, but I want to say one thing. Yeah, the only time I would say, when I was very hesitant, because, I mean, I know that when you say things, especially these days, people like to attack, so they'll take things out of context. So I wanted to make sure. I mean, I know the tapes go out. I want to make sure that that what I said shouldn't be taken out of context. But the thing is that there is only one time in that you could violate that rule, the rule of the Rambam, which is to give a person an answer, a solution to a dilemma, a metaphysical dilemma, even though you're short-circuiting the process and you're harming them. That is only if you see that the whole system is endangered, and that the individual is liable to lose out completely and deviate from the path. So that's why the Rambam himself writes, remember Pacey showed me, I don't remember exactly where, the Rambam himself writes that he violated that rule, I believe it was with regard to writing down in the beginning of Yesod HaTorah the solutions. Of course, a lot of those things are solutions to important problems, so why did the Rambam write it? But I believe what the Rambam says is that the reason he did it was because otherwise he saw that people were so far gone that if, in terms of the ideas of God, that if he doesn't write this down, then they're completely lost. So then, of course, the soul is as far from God as is possible. In order to prevent that, this is better. But this is not the ideal. This is not the ideal situation. Okay. So therefore, that's why the Rambam wrote the Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, where he disclosed certain ideas in a manner where he didn't want to do it, because in a way it's really harmful in a certain sense, but he had to do it, and he did it simply to because there was no choice, because he saw that people were under such crazy illusions that they're completely away from God. So therefore he saw it necessary to write the first prakim in the Yesod HaTorah. I believe it's something like that. I mean, is Pacey there?
Yeah.
Is that basically what he says?
Right.
So
in the beginning of Chis Mason, Mamet Chis Mason.
So therefore, you see that the Mamet Chis Mason. So therefore, you see that that's why I start off. I said that is the only exception. That is the only time you can make an exception to that rule. So then you are better off having the knowledge than dying in the state of perplexity, because in the state of perplexity, then the guy is completely far gone. He doesn't know whether God is physical or he's not physical. I mean, that kind of perplexity the soul cannot tolerate. It's simply worthless. His existence is completely worthless. So then he has to have the solution, even though it's not presented in the natural way. But he has to know the truth. So there are certain times, certain things where the soul will be more distant without the solution. But it's not the solution given in the proper manner. But that's because the society is so corrupt that people walk around with notions and ideas that are so far away from Yehadus and so far away from the Derech Hashem and from the teachings of Avraham Avinu that you have to do something about it. But you have no choice. I mean, so that's what the Rambam says. But that's the only exception. But when the Rambam was writing to his Talmud, he knew that wasn't the problem. Talmud had the basics and understood he was a gadol hador, going over. So he knew. So for him, perplexity is the better state of existence than having the solution. So that is the only exception. I wanted to get back to that. That's why I said when I started off, I said that my statement is qualified. So if a person is writing books to give solutions, so the Rambam would say, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, unless the person is trying to remove such false notions that would totally destroy the soul completely. But otherwise, to simply give solutions is not a good idea, because the person is better off without the solution. If the individual is one that is in the proper framework of knowledge and is following the whole program of Torah, I mean the proper program of learning. Okay, any other questions?
Is it on page 9?
In the Moral also, in the Friedlander. Page 9.
Page 9.
Page 9 of what?
In the Friedlander, the Moral. In the intro.
Where he mentions what?
I rely on two precedences, and he mentions the Eitz Hatzos Hashem.
Okay, good. So the Rambam is consistent. That's the Rambam. That's right. Okay, very good. Yeah, that's the only exception. Yeah.
You mentioned that in your formulation that the mitzvot are an integral part of perfection. And not just the knowledge itself. Of course, that how could Torah Nasso ever work? It's like a
stimulus. Torah Nasso is only when the soul has reached a certain level.
But it can never reach that level because what you're saying is that the mitzvah.
I didn't say it can't reach that level. I didn't say it can't reach. It can reach that level, but the level has to be reached through the process of through the program of Torah. The Torah's program is targets the soul of man. That's what its objective is. Okay, but the program, you have to follow the program. I mean, at a certain point, the program tells you that you should not do these things so much, you can do other things. So, at one point, it tells you, like the Rambam says, that tefillah is indispensable. That without tefillah, you could never get there. Impossible. On the other hand, at a certain point, the person has to abandon tefillah and be also in Torah more. That's Torah Sam Naso, but that's all part of the program. I mean, the program is perfect. Okay, but obviously, what's clear, on the contrary, that's exactly where you see the perfection of the program. It's not the same for every person. It can't be, because there's different levels that the person is existing on, and for each level, you need a different kind of a program. So, on the contrary, that's what the Rambam's talking about in the Mora, where he says that if a Navi would come to the people and say that the only perfection is Yedias Hashem and nothing else, and don't be mispalel and don't do anything, he'd be talking about a person that's like Moshe Rabbeinu. So, or a person that's on the level of Nevi'im. But for the Hamon Am, it wouldn't do him any good. Because the soul has to make the trip, and the only way to do it is through perfecting the soul on every level. But on the contrary, Tarasam Naso is a certain level, but the program tells you that you can't do that unless you're on that level. When a person's on that level, that's the right thing for the person. Okay? All right. We'll stop here. The Shem and Hashem Kelolam, but we've branched out a few points here. All right. I just want to remember to come back to a major point in the Vayikra Hashem B'Shem and Hashem Kelolam. But meanwhile, we got involved with Kabbonis and with other areas too. There's one thing I just wanted to add, something I mentioned about the last week, that the Rambam points out, the disease of the soul, where, I believe I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, the disease of the soul where the person requires something positive from the performance. And he calls it a disease of the soul. And he can't tolerate the Derech Hashem, which is based upon... Excuse me?
I'm sorry.
Okay. Right, so the Rambam was talking about this disease of the soul, where the person feels that he has to do something that in the performance must be some kind of a thing. This is really based upon a primitive notion. Primitive people have that idea that there's some magic in the performance. You see, the performance has to have some magic to it. So therefore, if God will give a mitzvah,
which will just remove a person from something, but it has no positive benefit, this is very disturbing, because there's no magic, so to speak. There's no, you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't satisfy that primitive need. This is important, because Pacey pointed out to me that correct definition, that in today's world, this assumes a certain form, where people feel that they take the tamei mitzvahs, and they give a mitzvah a certain tam, and they feel that by doing this performance, the performance effectuates a perfection on the soul. In other words, it's the performance itself that has some kind of a magical property that goes into the soul and perfects it. You see? That's correct. That's an accurate definition of how people think. But that's part of what the Rambam is saying is a diseased way of thinking. In other words, that really the mitzvahs of Torah perfect the person, because the mitzvahs are vehicles of perfection. They perfect the individual through the nature of man, and through perfecting the person through his midos, and through bringing him close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Tzelem Elokim. But not that the performance, there's a new kind of Kabbalistic, a modern day Kabbalistic approach, which is that they accept Tamei HaMitzvos, a certain type of Tam, but they maintain that the performance contains an element which, that when you do this, that idea goes right into your soul, somehow, magically. That the performance of the mitzvah will magically transfer something into the soul. You see, some kind of perfection through a transference process through the deed, the action itself. That's part of what the Rambam's talking about when he talks about the disease. That such people can never accept the idea, lo nocham olakim derech eretz polishtim, that there's really simply to avoid a hazard, and this is a Derech Hashem, God works this way, and if we love the Derech Hashem, then we should be just as eager to do a mitzvah that has that aspect as a mitzvah which has a positive gain. There's no difference, because it all has one purpose, logically, and that is Kiruv Lamakom. But there are certain people that can't tolerate that idea. The Rambam notices, that's exactly what the Rambam means, when he says anyone that can't accept this has a certain disease of the mind. That's exactly what he's referring to, the disease of the mind, where the person requires that a certain deed, a certain action be transferred somehow magically. Like they'll even say a good property. They may even give a worthy explanation of a mitzvah. You see, a true idea about the mitzvah. But they believe that the performance itself injects into the soul this perfection. And not that the mitzvah doesn't have any magical properties that it injects anything to the soul, but the mitzvah simply is created as a vehicle of the perfection of man, so that man can reach God through his nature, should be raised to a higher level where he naturally reaches God. Of course, those people that maintain that, they believe that magical type of thing, of course, they really can't believe that there was perfection before Matan Torah. And it would be virtually impossible. Because it's like the Rambam says, that those people who interpret the Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Balama LaDal Ramas Shalalach Bovah, they interpret that literally. So for them, the whole world didn't exist before Halacha, before Matan Torah, there was no, God had no interest in the world. I mean, as if Avraham Avinu was nothing, Yitzchak Yaakov, nothing. Only Dalet Ramah Shalalacha. But Rambam ridicules such a simplistic type of literal interpretation, and he explains how much, what really the depth of the statement of Chazal, of Ein Lo LaKadosh Baruch Hu Balomo, is far deeper than a person, than people think on the surface, not just a simple statement. Rambam explains it in his Hakdamah to Pirkei Tanya. But it's the same kind of thing. That the Derech Avoda really, and that really is, that's really what the Rambam says, that the Derech Avoda was established by whom? By Avram Avin. That's Amudo Shalolo. And as a matter of fact, you know, Rav Wilson gave a shiur here on Friday, and he drew my attention to this Rambam, where the end of the Rambam, where he really confirms what we were saying. In the last words of Perek Aleph Hilchos Avodah Kochavim, he says like this. Last year, he says, Kemat kot hayo ha'ikir sheshosal Avram nekar. Kemat kot hayo ha'ikir sheshosal Avram nekar. He says, almost in the time of Mitzrayim, he says, the whole ikir that Avram Avinu planted was almost, just about, almost removed. V'chozim b'nei akal v'tos olam v'tia yuson. Again, I mean, the Rambam says that basically, Kol HaTorah Kula is really, it corroborates the what he says in Hilchos Malacha, that it began with Avram, and Nishlama HaTorah Yodo means the Derech HaVoda, the whole Derech HaVoda, the objective. Avram Avinu established already the objective of Kol HaTorah Kula. And in terms of objective, the Kol HaTorah Kula and all the mitzvahs are just mashlim, the derech that Avram Avinu was kaveya. And basically that's what the Rambam says over there. He says it again in the end of Hilchos Avodah Kochavim. And what is that derech? That derech is a complete denial and removal from all the ways and methods of the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and establishing the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the kadmus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's all part of the whole derech of Avraham Avinu, and the Kol HaTorah Kula is simply to complete that objective. It's an amazing, that's exactly the Rambam said. It's an amazing thing, but he corroborates it over here. Yeah. So of course we have a difficulty, which we'll hopefully come back to. The difficulty is the Rambam with regard to Karbonais, and the Rambam says some difficult things in this line of reasoning. The Rambam says some difficult things because the Rambam says, on the contrary, I mean, you have to know when and where what emotion is being addressed. But you're right. The idea that mitzvahs ain't shechas kavana means that a person can do a mitzvah without even being cognizant. It depends on the type of cognizance, but okay, that's a separate thing. It has to be defined exactly. But a person can blow shofar to signal, and he'll be mekayim mitzvah shofar, even though he had no idea that he's doing it for the purpose of mitzvah. He didn't even know it's Rosh Hashanah. Whatever. Okay. But that's on the contrary, that's those systems of halacha show you that everything is determined by pure logic and not by emotion. On the contrary, that leads a person closer to God as well. The whole system of halacha is geared to lead a person close to God and the true idea of God, and not to allow him to fall into the realm of his own personal world, where his feelings and his emotions dictate what is proper service to God. So on the contrary, so then you have to look at the whole system, not at isolated instances of the system. On the contrary, and the isolated instances of the system are always there to perfect the person in another way, to take away another kind of emotion from the person. And mitzvahs, if I hold mitzvahs ain't shechas kavana, it's on the contrary. What it means is a person ate a piece of matzah and he's ready to kind of mitzvah. He didn't have any kavana, didn't think about Tzitzis Mitzrayim, didn't know anything about it, but that's it. He can't make a bracha l'chus matzah anymore. So it teaches a person that things are determined according to logic and chachma, and not according to the way you feel. On the contrary, it's more perfection. Everything is geared, every mitzvah that we have, and the way it's structured, is exactly geared towards the Yediyas Hashem. And that's why the way mitzvahs are structured are disturbing to people. I mean, you're right. That happens to be an example of something that's very disturbing. The average person can't take such a thing. What do you mean? I didn't have any mind. I ate the matzah. I didn't realize what I was doing. I was a kind of mitzvah. Now I can't make a bracha l'chus matzah. No, that's exactly the way Allah is structured. Allah is structured in a way where it goes against the emotions of man, against what people, against this idea, exactly against this idea. The Rambam says there's some magical type of effect in the mice. That to a person only makes sense if the person really thought about it. His thoughts were involved in it. His thoughts were involved in it. He did it without knowing. You wouldn't think that it's a religious performance. No, but the halacha says it's the same tzichus kavanah. So on the contrary, everything is structured in a way to lead a person to the true yedias Hashem and to remove him from his emotions. Every single halacha is structured that way. But they're different. Of course, it attacks different emotions at different times. Okay, like I mentioned, Zman Tfilah. Zman Tfilah, people have a lot of trouble with. What do you mean? You mean that now it's too late already? You can't daven shacharis? My Tfilah's not important enough. So you see that it was structured that way, and I mentioned even Avraham Avinu had his Zman Tfilah. So if it goes against the person's emotions, that means that that's exactly the Derech Hashem is to go against the way the person feels about it. On the contrary, that's the perfection. So, yeah, the only thing is that the difficulty in the Rambam is, we'll have to come back to explain this, where the Rambam in the Kabbonis, he says like this. He says, He says like this. This is the part, really, like I said, the Ramban, for some reason, doesn't quote this part. It's definitely something that is just unintelligible. But he left out the whole Rambam, and he quoted the Rambam from the wrong chapter. I mentioned that last time. But anyway, the difficult Rambam is the one that everybody is unhappy with, is the one in chapter 32, where he says, the Rambam says it was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God as displayed in the whole creation, that he did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these manners of service. Okay, he says, because the Jews, he says, because they were used to certain kinds of, he says, the custom which was in those days general among all men and the general mode of worship in which the Israelites were brought up consisted in sacrificing animals in those temples which contain certain images, to bow down to those images and to burn incense before them. Religious and ascetic persons were in those days the persons that were devoted to the service in the temples erected to the stars, as have been explained by us. Okay. Now the Rambam says it was in accordance with the wisdom and plan of God that he did not command us to give up and to discontinue all these manners of service. For to obey such a commandment would have been contrary to the nature of man, who generally cleaves to that to which he is used. It would, in those days, have made the same impression. Okay, he mentions a prophet who would come at present and tell us to serve God, and that we should not pray to him, we should not fast, we should not seek his help in times of trouble. He says that we should serve him in thought and not by action. Okay, so for this reason, he says God allowed these kinds of service to continue. And then he says like this. He says he transferred to his service that which had formerly served as a worship of created beings and of things imaginary and unreal, and commanded us to serve him in the same manner. This is what he says, which means to build unto him a temple, Vasuli Migdash, to have an altar erected to his name, okay, an altar of earth, Mizbech Adam Tasali, to offer sacrifices to him, Adam ki yakriv mikem, Korban Hashem. Okay, he has forbidden to do any of these things to any other being. Zaveach lolohim yocharam. Okay, he selected priests for the service in the temple, and they shall minister unto me in the priests of Zimim. He made it obligatory that certain gifts. Okay, he says so again. So over here it seems by this plan, it was affected that the trace of idolatry were blotted out. Right, so the difficulty is, I mean, over here, it sounds like the avodah is really imitating, I mean, their avodah, and the Torah says exactly the opposite. It says the pasuk says in Devarim, and it's an interesting thing. The Rambam himself quotes it. I mean, the pasuk says in Devarim. The pasuk says in Dvarim like this. The pasuk says, "Yeah, Dvarim Yud Beis." Okay? There's an open passage in the Torah. Ramban says that it means that anything, the practices which they do became nesa. Because we cannot. You cannot, and Rashi says, oh, I mean, that's the Pshuta Shemikra over there. Because the Pasuk says further that Kiesko was Tovosom Osul Elohim. Yeah. So that's why Losasachim Lashem Lakecha Kichol Tovas Lashem Asher Sone Osul Elohim. Kigamas Benev is Benasim is Refresh Elohim. So on the contrary. So I mean, this is one of the problems the Ramban raises. That the Rambam somehow or other. Sometimes he says, we do like they do, and then other times he says, no. He says, in the other chapter, he says that, on the contrary, that's why we're makriv these animals like goats, because they worship goats, and sheep, because they worship sheep. So he's like, where does he, he goes both ways. And the funny thing is, the Rambam himself does say that. The Rambam's like this, he says, the object of all these commandments is the same, namely that we shall not employ in the worship of God anything which the heathen employed in the worship of their idols. In general terms, this is repeated in the following passage. That's the passage I just quoted to you. Take heed that you inquire not after their gods, Pentitus Lehem Lemar, saying, Echa Yavdu Agayim O'elas Lehem, how did these nations serve their gods? Vesa King Gamani, and I'll do likewise. The Israelites shall not do this. Okay? Because it's expressly stated, every abomination unto the Lord which he hateth have they done unto their gods. That's really the question of the Rambam. The question of the Rambam is, he seems to be saying, this is in chapter 45. Okay, so that's really the we have to answer this question. Yeah, but let's just leave the question go. This is a big question. We'll leave it go. Come back to it. Yeah, what I'd like to take up is the idea. Is something. I mean, which talk about the Kabbonis and the Rambam. Yeah. Before that, I want to say just one more thing. One more thing before we go into the Kabbonis. And that's a question that I want to ask. The question, like this: after all that we've said. Can a human being, Avraham Avinu made up a mitzvah, correct? Now, he was Misakein Shachris, okay? And Yitzchak Mincha and Yaakov Giranashe and Myrav, okay? That's the question. Can a human being, so we said that they were able to do it because the Isser of being Moses for the Ben Noach on the mitzvos is the violation of doing something which will creating a performance which will not be in line with B'Shem HaRashem Kelolo. And after the Siyam HaMitzvahs, all the mitzvahs are there, there can't be, that's it. Okay, it can't be, anything he's going to be Mosif is not going to be in line with these, with this objective. So the question is, let's think about it. The question is, can a human being today create a mitzvah? Is it possible for a human being today to create a mitzvah? What do you say? They say, absolutely not. Right? Absolutely not. It's interesting. But the Rambam held yes. And where do we see that the Rambam held yes? It's an interesting thing. Where do you see the Rambam held yes? It's yes, but no. Not 100% yes, but somewhat yes. Okay? It's a qualified yes. Where do you see it? Without another. What? No. Initial motion. That would seem like that's it. You can't do anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there is. It's an interesting thing. There is an exception. Because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and one of the Ikarim, it's the third Ikar, he says that it's not roy to count the mitzvahs that were derived through what? through your gimel midas shatarin adreshes b'ayin. Through your gimel midas shatarin adreshes b'ayin. So the Rambam said, and the Rambam sheet is, and this we explained at another time, but just the results of what we said was simply that it's clear, when you learn through all those Rambams that deal with this area, that the Rambam sheet was that Chazal, the Balei HaMasorah, the Sanhedrin, can derive mitzvos and halachos from Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin. We can't do it anymore. That's the Rambam's introduction to the Yad. Says that that's why that stopped after Siyum HaShas. But Chazal were able to do it. Chazal were able to derive halachos through Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin. That's the Rambam says it's an open Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. The Ramban was upset by this. The Ramban didn't like this. The Ramban said that the Rambam never should have said this, that all the other things, that all the other qualim are wonderful except this one. But the truth of the matter is, I mean, the Rambam, that is the Rambam Lashitasa. Because the Rambam says, he says like this, he says, The echad dvarim shelomdu mipi daitam ba'achas min amidos she'atarin adreshes b'ayin. Lomdu mipi daitam ba'achas min amidos she'atarin adreshes b'ayin. V'nira b'eineim she'dovar zeh kachol. And the Ram Pas and the Ram Perk Beis in Hilchos Mamrim, that's why he says, Bezdin gadol she'dorshu ba'achas min amidos kefima she'nira b'eineim she'adinkach The donu din v'amalach rein bezin acher v'nir lo tamacha lister also hareza sosa v'don kafim mashinir beinav. So you can have a halacha which is based on your gimel midos shatarin adreshes b'ayin that has a very short existence. You see, it's an interesting thing. That's the Ram Shita. Ramban holds not so. Ramban holds that every time you have a gimel midos shatarin adreshes b'ayin, it's all kabbalah mashmisinat and other mishnayim holds anyway. But the Rambam held no. The Rambam held that Bezna Gadol has a right to be Doresh in the Yigimum. That's what the Rambam says. Midivrei Sofrim. He says that's really the pshat in the Rambam by Kiddushin. Kesef a Kesef Midivrei Sofrim. The Rambam means is that was something which was Nilmar Al Yedei Yigimum Yishatan Adreshes B'ayin. Okay, and that's why the Rambam says you can't count those things. Which those mitzvos that were derived through the Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin, the Rambam holds it's an absurdity because those things were derived later by Chachmei Yisrael, by the Balei HaMasorah. And you can't say it was given B'Sinai because it wasn't given B'Sinai. Yeah, the method was given B'Sinai. The method of Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin was given B'Sinai. And a person has to be on a very high level to be able to utilize that method and to understand the method, but the Rambam holds clearly that the Chachamim have a right to be motzi dovar b'yud gimel midah shatarin adreshes b'ayin, and that's why the Rambam says you can't count those things from minyan mitzvahs because they were to be come into existence through Balei Masorah later, so it wasn't Teretz of Elohim Moshe through Tayag mitzvahs. So it comes out, the Rambam says, if you would count those mitzvahs, the Rambam says, it would be Ola La'alofim. Alofim, Rambam says. For instance, Kabed Esovicho, Esl Rabos Chichagadol. So you count another mitzvah, Chichagadol, then the Baal O'aim, and Eish Yesu'av, and other things which Chazal learned that with Yud Gimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin. So the Rambam held. That's what the Rambam held. You can't count that. So you see from the Rambam sheet, and we learned the Rambam. So you have to go to Rambam Lishitasa. According to the Rambam, it comes out that man can create a mitzvah. He can create a mitzvah, but there is one qualification. What's the qualification? Qualification is that it has to be done al yidei yud gimel midos shatarin adreshes b'ayin. The Chachmei Yisrael could be motzi dvarim menaksuvim through the Yigimel Midah Shatarin Adreshes B'ayin, and that's not considered being most valamitzvus. That's the Torah gave them the reshus to darshan that way. So it comes out that those mitzvahs won't count in Tayyad. You see, those mitzvahs won't count in Tayag, because the Tayag is the krisis brisis al yedei Tayag. But there can be new mitzvahs, according to the Rambam, provided it is through Chachmei Yisrael, who have the Masorah, the Balei HaMasorah, and they know how to be motzi dover min aksuvim, the echod mi yigimum midos shiatar and adreshes bohen. And that will also be, and that will also be with b'shem ad Hashem kel olam. Then there's no problem if the Chachmei Yisrael, the Balei HaMasorah, are motzi dover min aksuvim, the echod mi yigimum midos shiatar and adreshes bohen. It's in line with the same derech avoda. That's really what the Rambam means when he says, "Kivon shenitznabe Moshe Rabbeinu bocha Hashem Yisrael l'nachala, hichtiron b'mitzvos vodiim derech avodaso." So the derech avoda was once they became muchtar b'mitzvos, they learned the derech avoda. Once they learned the derech avoda through the bris of tayag, so they were muchtar b'mitzvos. So they learn the derech avoda, then if they motzi mitzvos be a gimel midrash turn to dreshes b'hen, it's in line with Mishem and Hashem Kelo. That's Rambam. Rambam's the derisus, right? And the mitzvah, not only the derisus, but the mitzvahs, because the Rambam says that's why I'm not going to count those mitzvahs that they motzi with a gimel. He says they will be olal alof from harbe. So they're mitzvahs. No, what Marshall's saying is very good. He's saying that the Aseres HaDibros were Rashi Prakam. What's the idea of Sad Yigani, which was accepted by many, many Rishonim? The idea that the Aseres HaDibros were Rashi Prakam, it means that the Kabbalah Satara at Maimar Sinai in the Aseres HaDibros already was the Derech HaVadasa. Already the Derech HaVadasa was established. It had to be Nishlam. That's the saying. It's very good. It's a good, very good one. That's really, that's Sad Yigani's idea. That because the kasha that Sad Yigani was bothered with is that how could you have a Maimar HaSinai and suddenly everybody's converted to a whole new state? But the fact is what happened to Tayag mitzvahs? Just 10 mitzvahs, just 10 more, it's 14, okay, but whatever. But the answer is that's what Sad Yigani said, and Sad Yigani is based on very sound grounds, because the pasuk, the Torah refers to that not Aseres HaMitzvahs, but Aseres HaDvorim. Aseres HaDvarim. There are mitzvahs included there, but it's Aseres HaDvarim. The only place we have in the Torah such a concept. Apparently, there's a concept of mitzvah, and there's a concept of a dover. Of Aseres HaDvarim means inyonim. And that's why Sad Yigani says that the Aseres HaDibros, Aseres HaDvarim, really, are basic paths for the entire, all the mitzvahs are set up based upon that. What does he mean? He means to say that was the Derech Avodaso is contained in the Derech Avodaso is contained in the Aseres HaDibros. Derech Avodaso, the Rambam says. That Huchtru b'mitzvos v'limdeim v'odiyim Derech Avodaso. That's what the Rambam says. So once it's Derech Avodaso, so then it's a so then everything that they do is in line with B'Shem and Hashem Kelolam. It's an interesting thing. It works out, it's just the opposite. That through Nevuah you cannot create any mitzvahs. Impossible. Because then you'd be, that's Eilat. That's Eilat Bar Mikan She'ein Novi Rashoi L'Chadash Dov Me'ata. The only mitzvahs that came about through Nevuah is Chamish Chum Shetara, is Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. But through Chochma, a person can create a mitzvah, according to the Rambam Shita. They can motzi Dov, and that's the whole idea of the Yedimu Midi Shetana Dreshman. The Ramban holds that mitzvah was at Sinai. Ramban has to give a different answer why you don't count it. But why I'm mentioning it here is what I want to show is that Kol HaTorah Kula, the system of Kol HaTorah Kula is in order to give a person one to guarantee one thing, that they're always in line with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam. And insofar as man has the ability to create mitzvahs through, according to the Rambam, through the Echad Me'amidos Shatar Nidreshes Mohen, that's because it's all in line with B'Shem Ad Hashem Kel Olam, the system. Through the system he can do it. But outside the system, he can't do it. That was the problem with Chanukah and Megillah. It was outside the system. Just to stop making a mitzvah, he can't do it. Okay. That's why I said he has to be qualified. Yeah. To the we were on the on the idea of the Mizbeach and Kabbalas, right? Mizbeach and Kabbalas, yeah. So I want to say it like this, that, let's put the Rambam aside for a moment, the Rambam and the Morning of Uchim. But the thing is, I mean, actually, you have throughout the Torah, where you can't deny, I mean, you have throughout the Torah the concept of Kabbalas. It's impossible to not observe it. And I don't mean the Medrash that says that Adam Rishon was Magid Kabbalas. I mean, it's a... One second, Cain Hevel's one. But after Cain Hevel, Vayavo Avram Boretz Ad Mekom Shechem Ad Elon Moreh Vayero Shemel Avram Vayom Av Zarcho Atein Esaretz Azos in the beginning of Lech Lecho Vayivin Shem Mizbeach L'Reshem Anira Elo Vayivin Shem Mizbeach L'Reshem Anira Elo. The Pasuk in the Torah, I mean. Okay? Vayatek Mishem Ahoro Mikedem L'Vesel Vayet Aholo Besel Miyom Vayim Mikedem Vayivin Shem Mizbeach L'Reshem Vayikra B'Shem R'Reshem. Okay? Constantly. Everything is Mizbeach. Yeah, Vayehal Avram. It's in Pasuk, it's right before Revi in Lechacha. Vayehal Avram. Vayova Vayeshev Be'eloni Mamre Yashev Bechevron. Vayiven Shem Mizbeach Lad Hashem. All the time is Mizbeach. Okay? Yeah, and a little before that, right before Shlishi. Vayelcho Masov Minegev Ad Beisel. Ad HaMokom Asher Hoyo Shem Olo Batchilo Ben Beisel Veino Oy. El Mekom HaMizbeach Asher Osa Shem B'Rishono Vayikra Shem Avram B'Shem B'Rishem. Okay, constantly Mizbeach. Mizbeach is, you can't move without Mizbeach. Everything is Mizbeach. I mean, it's not something that's up for grabs. I mean, it's not a matter of a theoretical point over here. Okay, yeah. I mean, the Bris Ben Absarim is Kabbanais. Okay, now by Yitzchak Evan and told us in Revi, Vayal Mishom Be'er Shalav, Vayera Lov Ad Hashem Balai Lohu Vayem Anecha Lekei Avram Avicho Al Tira Kitcha Nochi Ve'erachticha Ve'beis Yizarcho Bavro Avram Avdi Vayivan Shem Mizbeach Vayukur B'Shem Ad Hashem Vayet Shem Oholo Vayukur Shem Avde Yitzchak Be'er. Okay, yeah, Vayivan Shem Mizbeach, same thing in Be'er Shalav again in Vayetze Vayifga B'Mokam Vayolan Shom Vayikach Me'avne Mokam Vayasam Ha'ashosov. Okay, and what does he say? Vayashkin Yaakov Baboker Vayikach Haseven Asher Soma Rashosov. Difficult pasuk because before it says it was many of them. Vayosam also Matzevo Vayitzok Shemen Al Rosho Vayikra Shem Makmo Beisel Vayida Yaakov Nedalem Yimel Kim Marish Maradach Vishatim Vayel Shem Vayevan Asher Something Matzevo Yeh Beisel Kim. Okay, so you have Matzevo again, you have Mizbeach. You're before Matan. In yesterday's parasha, I think you have the most striking example of Mizbeach. Okay, Vayavo Yaakov Sholei Mir Shchem, Asher Beretz Kanaan Bavol Mipad Nerom, Vayichanes Pnei Yir. Vayichanes Chalkas Asod Asher Not Hashem Olam Yabedeim Chamar Vishchem, and Meyak Sito. Vayatzev Shom Mizbeach, Vayikra lo Kael Elokei Yisrael. What does that mean? Okay, so Rashi right away jumps on this. What do you mean? Lo Shem Mizbeach Kori Elokei Yisrael. No, Chas V'Shalom, that's a lot of Zohar. Elo Al Shem Shehoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Imo V'Yitzilo Kor HaShem HaMizbeach Al Shem HaNes Lios Shvacho Shom Mokom Nizka B'Kriyas HaShem Kloma, Mishu Ke Alu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hule Lekim Li Sheshmi Yisrael. Okay, so he says in the same thing you have V'chem Atzim B'Moshe V'yikra Shmo Ad Hashem Nisi Lo Shem Mizbeach Kori Ad Hashem Elo Al Shem Anes Kor Hashem Mizbeach L'haski Shvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem Nisi. What is that little cryptic Rashi? What does it mean? It is called, it's not called, not too clear what he's saying yet, but I'll explain what he means. But you see by Moshe Rabbeinu Mizbeach V'yiven Moshe Mizbeach Vayikra Shmar Hashem Nisi. Okay? So what does it mean? And moreover, there's something else that we have to understand here. Because over here you have this Mizbeach, and then you have again later, right in the same parasha, a little bit further, after the incident with Dina. So it's... What? Yeah. And Vayama Lakim, right before Shishi, Vayama Lakim al Yaakov, Kumalei Beisel Veshev Sham. Va'asei Sham Mizbeach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you. Lokel, Anira Elecho, Bevorchachom Ne'esav Achicha, And then it says, Vayav Yaakov Luz Asher Beretz Kenan, Vayiven Shem Esbech Vayukal Amakom Kael Beisel, Kisham Niglu Elov Olakim Bevochem Neochiv. Okay? And then you have after that, Vayav Yaakov Luz Asher Beretz Kenan, Vayav Yaakov Luz Asher Beretz Kenan, Vayav Yaakov Luz Asher Beretz Kenan, the repetition again for what the Malach told him. Vayikra Shema Yisrael. Okay, so the question is, of course, I mean, what are these mizbechos? I mean, what is it? Mizbeach plays a very important, there's no way of getting around mizbeach. Mizbeach is all over. It's all over. You can't just answer it up and just say, yeah, that's it. It's not such a simple thing to deal with. Okay. What I like to do is, I'd like to take the Rambam in the Yad. Okay, what does the Rambam say in the Yad about mizbeach? It's interesting. Rum in the Yad. From the Psukim, what do you see? How would you define Mizbeach from the Psukim? Before we go to the Yad. How would you define Mizbeach from the Psukim? What is Mizbeach? What is Mizbeach? Okay. What is Mizbeach? It says that he got up in the morning, and then he got Vayishkav Makam Ahu, got up in the morning, Vayikach Aso Evin, Asher Soma Rashosov, Vayisimeo, Vayisimeo, Vayisem Atseva, Vayasem Asem Atseva, Vayitzak Shem Anor Roshim. Okay? That's, by the way, when the Pasuk says later in Shoftim, Lo Sakam Lacham Atseva, Asher Tzoni, Yad Hashem Lekecha, so Rashi's very quick to mention, but the others did it. So he says that was all over for the Amakam then, but now it's Sunni with Namakam. It's an interesting thing. That itself is very interesting. Since when does the Torah have to construct mitzvahs based upon what the Eidah of the Zohar do? What do we care what they do? They have their own mission gossip. If they're gonna do something that looks like tefillin, so we'll stop putting on tefillin. I mean, these things have to be understood. But let's forget about these problems. We'll come back to those problems. The question is, what is the basic idea of Mizbeach and Matzeva? Okay? What's the basic idea? What does it mean? Okay? So I think what Rashi's explaining here is basically what Rashi's interpreting here is what it means. It says, "Vayikra lo keil alakei Yisrael." So Rashi says, "Lo shem mizbeach kor alakei Yisrael." That's absurd. Ela al shem shoyah kodesh baruch hu imo v'itzilo kor shem mizbeach al shem anes. So what does it mean? It means that he called the mizbeach Kael Elokei Yisrael, but not that he was referring to the Mizbeach as Elokei Yisrael. That's what it's all. What it meant was that there's two ways to call something, right? For instance, that's what the Ramban says. Ramban quotes Rashi. He says, it's like Tzuri Shadoi. Okay? What does Tzuri Shadoi mean? It doesn't mean he called the kid Tzuri Shadoi. It means the kid, he didn't deify the kid. But it means that he called the child by a name. This name was a reflection of what God had done for him. You understand? That's what the Ramban says when he explains Rashi. That's really what Rashi means. Rashi's not too clear. But what Rashi means is, what did he call the Mizbeach? Yeah, he called the Mizbeach Kelo Lekei Yisrael. But not because he's calling the Mizbeach Lekei Yisrael. He's calling the Mizbeach by a term. He created a term that reflects the idea that Kael Mishu HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Yisrael. He's the God of Yaakov Avinu, whose name is Yisrael. That's a Rashi name. And it says the same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayikra Shmo Ad Hashem Nisi. What does it mean? It says, not that the Mizbeach, the same kind of Lashon as it is, not the Mizbeach is called Hashem Nisi. So what did he call it? You know, when you finish Rashi, what does he mean over there? What he means is the Mizbeach was called Ad Hashem Nisi. But not because he called him Mizbeach Ad Hashem, but because it was a phrase that was invented in order to remember what Hashem did for Klal Yisrael over there with the Nes with Amalek. So you understand what I'm saying? That's what Rashi is saying. What Rashi is saying is he used the name Kael Elokei Yisrael, but not in the sense that he's calling him Mizbeach Elokei Yisrael. But he's calling the Mizbeach by a name that reflected the idea that Kael, Mishahu Kael, Lachol Ha'olam, Hu Ha'olakim, Li Yisrael. You understand? That's what Rashi explains. Okay. Same thing with Hashem Nisi. Okay. So what is, but this really shows you something about Mizbeach. I mean, this one pasuk over here, more than any other pasuk, I think, shows you what is Mizbeach. So what is Mizbeach, or what is Matzeva, or Mizbeach? I didn't mean Matzeva, Mizbeach. But let's use them the same. Matzeva, Mizbeach, same thing. The Ramban says that Matzeva is one stone, and Mizbeach is many stones. Okay. That's one of the differences. But for our purposes, Matzeva, Mizbeach, let's just keep it the same. Okay? Yeah. So what does it mean? So it's clear what it means. It means that this was used as an instrument, as an object, to what? To eternalize an idea about God. Okay? That's what it was used for. In other words, the Mizbeach was used as an instrument, as a vehicle of eternalizing an idea. Like Rashi says, Mishu ke'elachol olam, hu elekimli sheshmi Yisrael. Okay? So it was used to eternalize an idea. That's really what the Mizbeach, that's what Mizbeach was. Okay? Now, of course, you'll ask me a question, what kind of an idea is that? That's a good question. Right? So what do we use? We use a physical thing to eternalize an idea. What kind of it sounds like a strange notion. Okay? Strange notion. So why? Why do we do that? I mean, it's a funny kind of a practice. Okay? It doesn't sound right. It sounds like Lahavdil, like the Gaon. Okay? Yeah. Take a look at, that's what the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. Where the Rambam says in Perek Sheni, Hilchos Beis HaBchira, Mizbeach Makomo Mechuvim Biyoser, he says, Umesoris Biyar HaKol, Shamakom Shebona Bo David Ushlomo HaMizbeach Begorin Arona, he says, the Makom HaMizbeach is Mechuvim Biyoser, only one Makom HaMizbeach, if you're off that spot by an inch, that's it. You haven't got the Mizbeach. He says, because why? Because this is the makom shebona bo David and Shlomo. This makom where David and Shlomo built the mizbeach begorin Arono, that's the makom shebona bo Avram mizbeach v'akod alav Yitzchak. V'hu makom shebona bo Noach kishiyatz menatova menateva. V'hu mizbeach shehikriv alav Kayin v'Hevel. Okay. Ubo hikriv Adam harishon korban kishenivra. So far, I don't understand. What is this whole history over here? Okay, but then the Rambam explains it. He says, "Umishom nivra, amru chachomim, adam mimekom kaparasa nivra." That is the insight into Mizbeach. You see, what does it mean? Now you understand what Mizbeach is. The Rambam explains what Mizbeach is, and that's what the Rambam says. Also, he says that's why you see in Migdash Mizbeach is koveya itself as a separate entity. There's Mizbeach and there's Migdash, and if you learn through halachas in the last Prakam and Sukkah. So you see also that the things that they did was for Migdash and was for Mizbeach. And if you learn the sugyas over there, you'll see that sometimes you have to know what the performance is. Sometimes the performance is came Mizbeach, sometimes it came Migdash, sometimes both. Mizbeach and Migdash are two entities. Mizbeach is not just something that's part of Klei HaMigdash. It's just an accident of the Migdash. It's a separate entity. As a matter of fact, the Rambam mentions over here, Ushlosh Nevi'im Olu Imar Min Agola, Echad heyed lohen al makom ha-mizbeach, echad heyed lohen al midosov, the echad heyed lohen shemakrivin al ha-mizbeach hazeh kol ha-kabonos af al pi she'en sham bias. You see? Why? Because mizbeach itself, even without the bias, that's what Ram says later, that makrivin ayom af pi she'en bias, because kitchel ha-shaitav kitchel ha-slova. But over here it doesn't mention the kitchel, it just mentions that the Navi just said, that the Navi said that you makar on the Mizbeach. Why? Because he wants to show you that Mizbeach is a separate entity. What is the idea of Mizbeach? What is Mizbeach? The idea of Mizbeach is a Yesod in Yahadus. Odom min mekom kaparas onifra. Which means that man cannot exist without chait and without kapar. It's impossible. That if man has a false notion about himself, and this lav l'goyim have, the idea that he... That man can be perfect, can exist and be perfected without chatoyim, without many chatoyim, without many kaparas, then they are simply following their primitive emotions. Yahadus, that's the whole yisod of Yahadus, that Adam Harishon was created from that spot. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, okay. This is in the Yad HaChazaka, that Adam HaRishon was Makriv Kabonais, and he was created from this spot. Why was he created from the spot? Why? Because Amru Chachomim Adam Mimkom Kaparasa Nivra. This, here the Rambam gives you the Sod of Mizbeach. The reason why Mizbeach is used as an instrument and as a vehicle, you see, of eternalizing ideas about God, why is it used for that purpose? The reason is because Mizbeach carries in it, contains in it, the essential idea, the most essential fundamental principle of Adam. And that is that Adam is a chote. It's impossible for him not to fall into deep pits in his way to on the road to perfection, and to require kapara, and to constantly rethink everything he does, and to constantly be in a process of change and self-examination, and examining his deeds, and thinking about God, and thinking about how he relates to God. And if this process is one which must be constant at all times, because Adam Nimkom Kaparoso Nivra. That's the idea. That if it's not Nimkom Kaparoso, he can't exist. Can't exist. That's why the Avos use Mizbeach. That's what Rashi means in Dvarim. He says, Lasai, Lasag Mucha, Matseva Shasone, Vashem Lekecha. But in the time of the Avos, it was Ohuv Lefnei HaMakom. It was Ohuv Lefnei HaMakom. Why was it Ohuv? Why was it Ohuv? Why was it loved by God? Because that idea is the most central idea in so far as the others is concerned. That's why you have the only case that I know of in Halacha where you have we actually have an animistic idea when they said Yofi Lacham Mizbeach, the Mishnah says. What right there? Yofi Lacham, what do you Yofi Lacham Mizbeach? I can talk to the Mizbeach. But the answer is because Yofi Lacham Mizbeach means that you have a matir, because Mizbeach is such a yesod in Yahadus that Adam in Mekom Kaparasa Nivra, that man must never look at himself as a being that acts in a perfect way, but one that's always slipping and always falling and always making mistakes and constantly needing kapara. That's the way he is because of his makeup. He has to recognize that idea. That's why you have a matir to say Yofi Lacham Mizbeach. Because the Mizbeach is, that's the idea of Mizbeach. Adam Mimkom Kaparasa Nivra. And that's why the Avos use Mizbeach. It's clear. That's why the Avos use Mizbeach. Why the Mizbeach was used to eternalize ideas about God? Because man can't approach God without Mizbeach. Without Mizbeach, it's impossible. Without the idea of Adam and Kom Kaparasa Nivra, it's virtually impossible for man to relate to God. That's the biggest, the greatest yisod. That's Cain and Hevel. That's Noach. All these kabbanos are kapara. The kabbanos of Noach. Vayiven shom Mizbeach vayikro b'shem Marishim. Why did Avram Avinu always have to build a Mizbeach? It's interesting. It doesn't say it was Makav Kabbanis. That it doesn't say. Mizbeach, it says. I'm not saying it wasn't Makav Kabbanis. If you have a Mizbeach, it's Makav Kabbanis. But the Pasuk doesn't really emphasize the Akrobus Kabbanis. The Pasuk emphasizes the fact that there's a Mizbeach. Not just a Mizbeach, you see, but there's a Makoma Mizbeach. El Makoma Mizbeach, Hashem Osa Shem Barishana. Why is there a Makoma Mizbeach? Why is it Makom Mizbeach? Because it means to say that when a person stands in front of the Mizbeach, that's the idea that's supposed to permeate his existence. The idea of kapora, of tshuva, of chait, and the fact that he is a chote, and the fact that he's not roi lamay lefnei hamakom, except for the fact that there's an institution of kapora. So that idea is the matir, really, for him to stand before God. That's Makom Mizbeach. Now Makom Mizbeach asher osav shem barishon. And that's why Yaakov Avinu said, what did Yaakov Avinu say? It says, Yaakov Avinu said that he said, Vayivin, what's the passage? Vayashkin, Vayikach Asoeven, Asha Samar Ashosov, Vayosem Oso Matsevo, Vayitzok Sheman Al Rosho, Vayida Yaganova Nether Hashem Madi, right? Right? Shafti Shom Bevoshim, Voyashem Lila Lakim, Voevan Azosa Sher Samti Matseva, Yebasilakim. Yebasilakim. What does it mean? How can an Evan become a Basilakim? What's the answer? What does it mean? Literally, what does it mean? What it means is because the Evan, the Matseva, which reflects the idea of Adam in Mekom Kaparoso Nivra, that is the Mokum that creates an aura, Mekom HaMizbeach. The aura is when people are in this proximity, they're reminded of the idea of kapara, of mizbeach. Then it's Beisel Hakim. The Beisel Hakim was built on that spot, because that was that's what the Rambam is saying. It's all based on that one idea, on the yesod of the mizbeach. The yesod of the mizbeach. That's basically the Rambam. That's the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka. It's the psukim in the Torah. I mean, you don't have to. You don't need a Marne Vuchim. I mean, it's a plain shot in all the psukim. But it's interesting. So let's just go back to this psukim from yesterday's parsha. So what is it saying in yesterday's parsha? So it says that Yaakov Avinu, what did he do? So it says he made him his mizbeach vayikra lo keil elokei Yisrael. The mizbeach was called by a phrase which reflected the idea that keil, what's the idea? Kadosh Baruch Hu, hu ho elokim li. Okay, Shmi Yisrael. Okay, so what does it mean? What it means is like this, and then of course later he gets a tzivui to go back to Beis El. This was in Shechem, but later he gets a tzivui to go back to Beis El and to build another mizbeach. I mean, he just built a mizbeach. All right. You know, basically, what's the concept over here? The concept like this: that there were two mizbeachos really. One mizbeach, the mizbeach of Keil Elokei Yisrael, was really an interesting chazal. Rashi mentions a chazal on that pasuk. On Keil Elokei Yisrael, he says like this. He says, "V'rabosenu darshu shakadosh baruch hu kara li Yaakov Keil. Shakadosh baruch hu called Yaakov Keil. Vayikra lo Keil who Elokei Yisrael." In other words, according to Rashi, chazal say the dashnu pasuk. They count the pasuk. In other words, Vayikra lo to Yaakov Elokei Yisrael Keil. Okay, Vayikra lo comma Keil who called them Elokei Yisrael. Vayikra lo Elokei Yisrael Keil. That's what Rashi says. So Rashi quotes this. He says, "Avsinu Dorsha Kosh Bochu Kol Yaakov Keil the Divrei Torah Kepatu Shifotzei Tzela Mischalkim Lekama Taimin Vani Liyashiv Pshuto Shel Mikrobasi." Okay, so why does he mention it? No, he doesn't mention every medrash. He mentioned that medrash because he's telling you that there's an idea here in the Medrash that's significant in terms of the Parsha itself. But the Pshuta Shel Mikra, he says, I'll tell you the Pshuta Shel Mikra is like this, but the idea that Chazal is saying is germane, it's significant, extremely significant for the whole context of what's going on over here. See, what is the idea? The idea is like this. This Mizbeach he built to immortalize an idea. But what was the idea that he immortalized? The idea was, Keil, Misha, who Keil, Misha, Omar, Vahoy, Olam, Izu, Alekim, Li, Le, Shani, Yisrael. What does it mean? And then the Chazal say that God called him Keil. And you look at the Chazal further, it says, God said to him that you're a Keil betachtonim, Vani, Keil, Balyana. So what does it mean? What does it mean to say? It means to say that here Yaakov Avinu arrived at the ultimate level of perfection. He went through all the nisyanos, the difficulties with Esav, the fear that he had with Esav, and then with the struggle with the Malach, and Vayavo Yaakov Sholem Yir Shechem. What does it say? Sholem b'mamono, Sholem b'toroso, Sholem b'gufo. He was complete. He reached the level of total perfection in every aspect of man. He was perfected. So all the perfections. So he vayavo Yaakov Sholem Yir Shechem. So then it says he involved himself. Interesting, he involved himself in Tikkun Olam. He bought a Mecca Chomemka, Tikkun Olam over there. And then it says, and then he built the mizbeach. What was this? What did this mizbeach reflect? The mizbeach reflected that God created the world in a way that a human being can achieve a certain level of perfection. You see, where he has a certain position vis-a-vis the physical world. That's what it means. Ato keil betachtonim. You see, it means he reached a certain level of shlita on the world, so to speak. He reached a certain position. And a position that man can reach, where he lives on this world in a certain way, in line with the Ashgacha and in a very special kind of existence, a special kind of human existence, through the Ashgaha. That's what that Mizbeach was. Vayiven Sham Mizbeach, Vayikro Lo, Kael Elokei Yisrael. And what a Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kara Kael also. It's the same idea, really. The Mizbeach was created to immortalize something. What did it immortalize? It immortalized the idea that there can be a perfected Adam. There can be a Yaakov Avinu who reaches a certain level of perfection, and it's a level of Ashgacha. It's a qualitative level. It's a niche in the levels of human existence. It's a specific qualitative level. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu Korakel. That was that Mizbeach. To immortalize that idea. It's true the idea was about him, but that's no reason why it shouldn't be immortalized. The idea was that he reached a level, like Chazal said. What did Chazal say? That who was it? A certain Tana came and he saw all the people
and Zoma.
He saw all the people in the time of the Aliyah Sarego, and he said Bishvili Nivralam. Okay, yeah, but he wasn't egoistic. It was just the fact he happened to be the object of that perfection. And that's really what Yaakov did. The Mizbeach was built to immortalize that idea. That there's a niche in the Ashgacha. A person reaches a certain qualitative level is a change, a qualitative change in the nature of his existence. He's a Kael B'Tachtonim, you see. In this existence, he's a ruler. He's a Shalit. He's a ruler. It's a different kind of human existence. That was that Mizbeach. That was the Mizbeach. Of course, why it have to be Mizbeach? Because it's only through Kapora that a man can reach that level. That must never be forgotten. Only through kapara, through the struggles, through falling and through failing, that man, and through kapara, that man can reach that level. That's when his bech is always there. Always that's when his bech. Later, you see, it's interesting. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, "Vayom alakim al Yaakov after the ma'aseh dina, and Yaakov kum alei beisel v'shev sham v'aseh sham mizbeach." This is like going back. He made a Mizbeach later. Now it's like backtracking, you see? Then it says, then what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was, you forgot something. And Chazal say that he was wrong. He was nenish because Rashi says he said originally he was going to come right back to Beis El. But then he tarried on the road. See, Chazal say, Rashi says over here, he says that if you, that's why, excuse me? Yeah, well, he says that because of this, that you got involved with the troubles with Dina, right? I mean, Pasuk what? Pasuk Aleph. Yeah. Tanchuma, Lafisha Yicharta Baderach Nenashta, Ubalachazos Mibeischa, Mibitcha. Okay, so what is the, so that's why he had the Tzav Din. So what is the, what does it mean? It means to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminded him that it's very nice for a person to make a Mizbeach, that he achieved the level. And he's thankful that there's such a thing in the creation, there's such a level of existence, that he's Kael B'Tachtonim, and he went through successfully all the struggles, but he's forgetting one thing. He's forgetting that there's something else also, that Lo Kael Ona Osi Biyom Tzarosi, before I reached that level, there was Ashgacha. It was Ashgacha that Lo Kael Ona Osi Biyom Tzarosi Vayihi Madi Baderach Asher Halachti. And that's what Rashi says, that's what Tanchum is saying. That he forgot, he made a Mizbeach in Shechem, but the Mizbeach, the original Mizbeach, is the one that he mustn't, that a person mustn't forget. Even though he reached the level of perfection, but what about the Ashgacha before he was perfected? Vayira Yaakov Moed Vayetzalal. He was frightened, he was afraid, he didn't have any courage. And still, but he said, "Yeah, it can be muddy." But the Ashgacha was with him all the way back. That Ashgacha you didn't make a Mizbeach for. Go back, make the second Mizbeach does not does not outrule the first Mizbeach. Does not outrule the first Mizbeach. The second Mizbeach is to immortalize the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in a way that he could reach, achieve a niche of perfection and existence in the realm of the Ashgacha. That's true. But that same individual can never forget that there was Ashgacha before he reached perfection, and the Mizbeach has to be, you have to build a Mizbeach to immortalize that idea as well. That's really, and apparently the Tanchum is saying that Yaakov Avinu was a little bit negligent. Apparently, in a sense, there was some kind of a sense that the Mizbeach in Shechem is kolel everything. But it's not kolel everything, because there must be a separate Mizbeach for the Keil HaOme, Keil HaOnosi B'yom Tzarosi, Ayim Modi B'derech HaSheh Halachti, allowed him to have that derech so that he was able to reach the perfection. That requires a separate Mizbeach, a separate immortalization of that idea. That's all. Okay, yes.
It's not a small mission for a person to tell the Tachkorah.
On the contrary, Adam Nimkom Kaparosan Nivra, that never stops. That never stops. I mean, Yaakov Vina went on. He went on after that. After that, he had Tzoros after that too. He lost Nivor for 22 years. It wasn't the end of his existence. He would be always Adam Nimkom Kaparosan Nivra, but it's a different level. That's basically why the Pasuk says, well, you could, that's why in the end it says, in the end it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated the what the Malach said. Right after that, in that same Nevuah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to make the Mizbeach, you see, the even Shem Mizbeach, we're going to look Kel Bezel, Kisham Niglu Elov Olekim Bevorchai Mipnei Ochiv, Vayer Olekim El Yaakov Ol Bevon Padam Havorach Asar, Yom Olekim Shimcha Yelikar Shimcha El Yaakov, Kim Yisrael Yeshemecha, That means that after the second Mizbeach, then he was completely Nishlam. You see, the Malach said that he was successful in the struggle. That wasn't so far as that struggle was concerned. But the Shleimus Adam was complete when he built the second Mizbeach. And he recognized that the first one in Shechem is not Kol everything. Always must be the immortalization, the eternalization of that idea of the Holakim Asher Hoya Imadi B'yom Tzarasi before he reached perfection. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo Yikarei Shem Yaakov Kim Yisrael Yashemecha. That was really he reached the ultimate state of perfection beyond simply the struggle of the Malach. The struggle of the Malach was an individual accomplishment, an individual achievement. But the real perfection, Kal Goyin Yemi Mecca, was only after the second Mizbeach. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu repeated the Baruch.